To our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with all of you on this beautiful Sunday, fourth Sunday of Easter. So we'd like to start off, as always, by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many beautiful titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. And every time we pray the Hail, Holy Queen, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. She's our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to Mary and beg for her presence among us. That Mary would pray for us and pray with us as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're in the Easter season, but every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's pray the prayer that Mary loves most. That's the Hail Mary. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has many wonderful titles, among which would be, he is the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as our Counselor. Is also known as our Consoler. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our Sanctifier. Is also known as the Sanctifier, but also known as our Interior Master or Teacher. Interior Master or Teacher. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to give us a lot of light. And the fire of love to burn within our hearts, together. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful. And enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. St. Raphael, pray for us. St. Pope Pius V, pray for us. St. Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and every time we celebrate Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is truly risen from the dead. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. We're still in this Easter season up until Pentecost. So, as always, I like to pray for all of you, and I'd like to pray for you in the greatest of all prayers, which is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is the greatest of all prayers. It is the prayer par excellence. So I'm going to place all of you on the altar when I celebrate my two Masses today. And I'd like to offer these specific intentions for all of you. First, I'd like to pray that we'd all be open to the Holy Spirit. That we would be all open to the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we can say this prayer. And that prayer is, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. My next intention will be, I'd like to pray for your family and family members. Especially, I'd like to pray for the lost sheep. The lost and wandering sheep, that they would return to the arms of the Good Shepherd. That's right, that they would return to the arms of the Good Shepherd. It's never too late. That they would recognize that they were feeding themselves, nourishing themselves on poisonous pastures. That they would nourish themselves in the pasture that the Good Shepherd gives to them, on His Word. And on His sacraments. My next intention, as always, will be the following. I'd like to pray for all of the dying. Pray for all the dying. Yesterday I went to visit a woman who was in coma in Los Alamitos Hospital. Her husband and son was there. I gave her the anointing of the sick. I gave her the apostolic pardon, and we prayed the chaplet of divine mercy together. So hoping that when the Lord calls her, that she'd be ready to meet the Lord, and He would be very merciful toward her. Let's pray for the dying, especially those who are dying right now who are really not prepared to meet the Lord, that they would open up their hearts to God's infinite mercy. Give thanks to the Lord for His good, for His mercy endures forever. I have a final intention, and then we'll enter into Today, which is the Good Shepherd Sunday, Sunday in which we pray for priests and for vocations to the priesthood, because the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. Harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. Harvest is rich, the laborers are few. We also pray for Carmen's, whose birthday it is today. And the end of our talk will give all of you a blessing, but a blessing to Carmen on her birthday today. Yes, we celebrate in our persevering family many celebrations, many triumphs in our lives. I'd like to offer another intention. Another intention would be that starting today, my friends, I'll be starting a new course, which I actually gave last year around this time. And the course I'll be starting today in English and tomorrow in Spanish will be, I'm going to be going through the Acts of the Apostles. Today in our parish I'll be starting at 1:30 after the 12 o'clock Mass. And then tomorrow in Spanish we'll have the course at 7 p.m. And it's the Acts of the Apostles. So we invite all of you to come, if you can make it. And bring your Bibles and bring a notebook so we can get to know the Word of God through the Acts of the Apostles and we get to know the Holy Spirit better and better. So before entering into the topic of the Good Shepherd Sunday, I'd like to tell you an important Marian story. We always want to try to honor Mary, and tomorrow we enter into the first day of May, which is May is the month of Mary. That's right. May is the month of Mary. We want to do all we possibly can to honor Mary because Mary is the quickest, easiest, and shortest pathway to Christ is through his mother Mary. And it's this. About 500 years ago, a little bit less, there was planned a naval attack upon the Catholics. And it took place in the Gulf of Turkey called Lepanto. And the Turkish Muslim fleet was much stronger. Much stronger. So, the Catholics mustered their naval fleet, their force, which was very weak in comparison to the Muslims. It was almost like David against Goliath. And what happened was, the battle started, and the Muslims were winning the battle. But Pope, whose feast day we celebrate today, Pope St. Pius V, whose feast day is the last day of April, he told the Catholics to pray for the Catholic naval fleet. Which they did. So they're praying rosaries around the clock. And what happened was, the tides turned, and the Catholic fleet was able to capture and kill the chief admiral of the Muslim fleet. And this thrust them into a state of confusion, and the Catholics won the battle in Lepanto. Pope St. Pius V knew from an interior inspiration which came from the Holy Spirit that the Catholics won the battle. And he was in meeting and he stopped and he said, we have to thank God through Mary because the Catholic fleet have defeated the Muslim fleet in Lepanto. And this victory came about through the praying of the Most Holy Rosary. That's right. Through the praying of the Most Holy Rosary, the Catholics won this battle. And as a result of this, there is now a Marian feast day in honor of this victory. And it happens to be in the month of October, the 7th of October, we celebrate Our Lady of the Rosary, which is also known as Our Lady of Victory, because this victory came about through the intercession of Mary, but especially through the praying of the Rosary. So, my friends, as we celebrate St. Pope Pius V today, tomorrow we enter into the month of May, and also it happens to be the feast day of St. Joseph the Worker. I already invite all of you, if you're not already doing this, to pray the Most Holy Rosary. To pray the Most Holy Rosary. My friends, we're living in very difficult times. Now more than ever, we have to have recourse to Mary Most Holy. And to pray the Most Holy Rosary. Listen to this theological explanation. There is what is called the Benedictine option, and then there is what is called the Marian option. And I'll explain. The Benedictine option is the following. Many years ago, Saint Benedict came from a very noble and a very good family. He traveled to Rome, the city of Rome, to study. But Rome had fallen into so much deprivation, degradation, and immorality that the young Benedict couldn't put up with it anymore. So he got up and he fled Rome. And he went to a place called Subiaco. There in Subiaco, he spent time in a cave where he prayed, he fasted, and he gave himself up to meditating upon the things of God. Then eventually Benedict would end up in Monte Cassino. There, Saint Benedict would be the founder of the Benedictine order. And he had a lot of followers. And they sought refuge from the world and all the temptations of the world by dedicating themselves to a life of deep prayer and hard work, ora e labora. That's called the Benedictine option, leaving the world and finding refuge in God, in contemplation, in prayer and penance. There is, today, what is called the Marian option. What is the Marian option? There have been writings on the Marian option which is parallel to the Benedictine option. Parallel to the Benedictine option. And it's this. In the time of Noah, those are bad times. God told Noah to build an ark. After he built the ark, the people were laughing at him, saying, why are you building an ark? And Noah said, because there's going to be a deluge. They laughed at him. They mocked him. They made fun of Noah. But God told Noah to go into the ark with his wife, his family, and the animals, a pair of the animals who were on the face of the earth. Once this was done, the sky darkened, the wind blew, and the rain came pouring down in buckets upon all the world. And all the people in the world were destroyed except those who were found in the Ark of Noah. We're living in difficult times. We're living in difficult times. We have to find our refuge in the modern Ark of Noah. The modern Ark of Noah. The modern Ark of Noah, my friends, is the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So let us seek refuge in Mary. As in the Battle of Lepanto, the Catholics were able to defeat the Muslims, even though the Muslims had a much superior navy than the Catholics. The victory was basically a victory through the intercession of Mary. It was almost like David against Goliath. How did David win the battle against Goliath? Because he pulled out his slingshot and he aimed at the giant. And with his slingshot, that stone that he flung, riveted itself into the forehead of Goliath. He came crashing to the ground, and David came up and he chopped off his head. Let me show you a modern slingshot. Here we have our modern slingshot. The modern slingshot, my friends, is the Most Holy Rosary. Not five stones, but 50 stones. In Mexico, they actually call Mary La Generala del Ejército. General del Ejército means the general of the army. That's what they call Mary, the title for Mary. Mary is the general of the army. So, my friends, Let's turn now to the topic of the day. The fourth Sunday in Easter is known as the Good Shepherd Sunday. The Good Shepherd Sunday. The readings are taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, where we have, once again, St. Peter preaching on Pentecost. St. Peter's preaching with power, with unction, with conviction, with determination. And as a result of the preaching of St. Peter, will become the first good shepherd of the flock after Jesus leaves. That's right. There's a connection between Peter and the good shepherd, because Jesus is the good shepherd, but he would charge Peter to feed his sheep, feed his lambs, feed his sheep at the very end of the Gospel of St. John, John chapter 21. So we see the real powerful transformation of Simon Peter through the coming of the Holy Spirit. So that's the first reading. Let's pray, my friends, that we would be open to the Holy Spirit. Pray as you go through the Acts of the Apostles, and you come with me to the Acts of the Apostles, for a more keen awareness, a more keen awareness of who the Holy Spirit is, and to be open and docile to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. The responsorial psalm, you could probably guess what it's going to be. What do you think the responsorial psalm would be on the Good Shepherd Sunday? Yeah, well, it's going to be Psalm 23. Which is the most famous psalm of the 150 psalms in the Bible. Psalm 23 is by far the most famous. And that psalm is the psalm of the Good Shepherd. A couple weeks ago on the Catholic website, the Catholic Exchange, in which one of my blog articles appears almost every week. Every week. There was an article that I wrote a couple years ago on how to overcome desolation. How to overcome desolation. And I wrote down 10 biblical verses that can help us in moments of desolation. And one of them is Psalm 23. So when you're going through desolation, as Father Tim Gallagher points out time and time again, we should be ashamed that we experience and we go through desolation. However, we should know what to do and what not to do when we find ourselves in desolation. Because if we don't know how to cope properly with desolation, desolation can wreak havoc within us. The result could be disastrous. So one of my suggestions was, when you find yourself in desolation, whether there's a lack of faith, a lack of hope, a lack of love, you feel sad, you feel depressed, you feel discouraged, you feel disoriented, life doesn't seem to have any meaning, you want to throw in the towel, give up. We all go through that in one way or another, right? We all go through desolation. One of my suggestions would be to find some time to be with the Lord and to open up your Bible to Psalm 23 and to calmly pray Psalm 23, the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. And that is, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Then read and pray the whole Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. There's a lot in that first verse, Psalm 23, verse 1. There's a lot in that verse. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. In desolation, it seems as if we're lacking everything. It seems as if we're lacking everything. But that's not the case. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. So we're all going through desolation now and then. We shouldn't be surprised or taken off guard, but we have to know what to do. And Rule 6 and the Rules for Discernment says you got to pray. That's one prayer, I think, that gives a lot of consolation. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Beautiful psalm. Recognize that Jesus loves you. Jesus understands you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus wants to defend you. Jesus wants to protect you. Jesus wants to be your best friend. Jesus wants to be your good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Now, the second reading is actually taken from the letter of St. Peter. I'd like to just take the last couple of verses and comment upon. It says, that Jesus bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that free from sin we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Let the comment upon that. By his wounds you are healed. Now, all of us, my friends, enter into this world with wounds. And that wound is the wound of original sin. Only Mary, through the Immaculate Conception, and Jesus, being God himself, did not enter into the world with a wounded nature. So we're wounded. Now, if we commit sin, and we all are sinners, then we're wounding ourselves all the more. We're wounding ourselves all the more. There's a very famous writer who wrote last century, and his name was Father Henri Nouwen, a Frenchman. And one of the key concepts of the writing of Father Henri Nouwen was the concept of this woundedness. And this is what he said. He said that we're all wounded. We're all wounded. And he goes on to point out that either we'll become wounded wounders or wounded healers. Very interesting. I repeat. Either we become wounded wounders or we'll become wounded healers. Either become wounded wounders or become wounded healers. Now, how is it that we can become wounded healers? Well, we have to go to Christ. We have to go to Christ. And we have to expose our wounds to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the divine physician. That's right. He's the divine physician. And what I honestly believe, my friends, we're walking around with a lot of wounds. A lot of people have gaping wounds. I strongly promote the spiritual exercises, but also I strongly promote what is called the general confession. The general confession of all of our sins. When we prepare ourselves well, we go to the priest, we open up our hearts, we unload our conscience. We tell God we're sorry in the context of the sacrament of confession in which we encounter Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. When we do that, then we are healed of our wounds. We're healed of our wounds. So we can say, either we're a wounded wounder or wounded healer. If we go to Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd of our souls, we have recourse to Him. We confess our sins. We repent. We receive absolution. So my friends, let's pray that we would be wounded healers in a wounded and broken world. Amen. That we would be wounded healers in a wounded and broken world. Amen. Now my friends, we turn from that verse to the last verse that really seems to touch me. It says, for you had gone astray like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. What a beautiful verse. So St. Peter says, for you have gone astray like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. So let's be thankful, my friends, that the Good Shepherd, has brought us back to the fold. That brings me to the Gospel of the Good Shepherd. Let me show you in my studio one of my favorite pictures in my studio. Here we have it. Here's the gospel depiction of the Good Shepherd and the sheep. The Good Shepherd and the Sheep. This is one of my favorites. I'd like to just spend a short time upon that biblical passage. Jesus will go on to say that he is the good shepherd and he knows his sheep. Jesus is really commenting upon Psalm 23 of the Good Shepherd. He is the good shepherd of the flock and we are the sheep. Now, if you look at that picture, there's a lot in it. It's basically the gospel for today. It's a depiction of Jesus, the risen Jesus, because you can see the wounds in his hands. Whenever you see a picture with Jesus and his wounds in his hands and his feet, that's always a depiction of the risen Jesus. And you can see that in that picture, Jesus has found the lost sheep. But there's a lot of details in the picture. If you look at it, there's a lot of details. One detail is Jesus has, he has a thorn branch that is embedded in his back. And what that means is that Jesus has had, he had to travel a long way to find this lost sheep. That's right. He's had to go through the forest and the thickets and through the ravines and through the mountains. He's risking himself. He's left the 99 sheep and he's going after the one lost sheep, pointing out that every sheep is important to Christ. Every one of you is important. Every one of you is precious in the eyes of God. So the fact that he's got that thorn branch embedded in his back is a sign of his love for us, that Jesus was willing to come and to sacrifice and to suffer for us. Then you can see that Jesus, he has his staff, his walking staff, but also Jesus has arrived. He's arrived at the mountain where the sheep has fallen off the cliff. And if you were paying attention, he's fallen off the cliff and he's fallen into a hole there in the ravine. But what is very telling about that passage is that above you can see a bird. It's not a robin or a blue jay or a wren or a cardinal, but rather it's a vulture. And I think all you know, when there's a vulture, it's one of those carnivorous birds. The vulture has a certain sense where he picks up that an animal or a human person is about to die, so that the vulture will descend upon that animal or person even before he's dead and start to eat away. And that means that Jesus has arrived at the right time. Jesus never arrives late. Some, Mary and Martha, may have thought that Jesus arrived late because his brother was already dead. He purposely arrived 4 days late so that he could raise Lazarus from the dead and show that he had his power over death. Then in this picture of the Good Shepherd, one of the things that strikes me most is that the sheep is looking, up very attentively into the eyes of the Good Shepherd. He's focusing with a riveted attention on the eyes, the face of the Good Shepherd. That's exactly what we have to do, my friends. We have to try to focus on the face, the eyes of the Good Shepherd, who loves us very much. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. And not only is the sheep gazing into the eyes of the Good Shepherd, but the shepherd is gazing into the eyes of the sheep. But also the shepherd is on this rocky mountain, which is dangerous. If he slips and falls, he could cascade to his own death. Jesus is willing to suffer for us. He's willing to make efforts. He's willing to place his life on the line, which he did for us. It's a very powerful image. Very powerful image. You see, he's on that rocky fastness, which he could easily slip and fall off the cliff. How much the Good Shepherd really loves us. Now, this is a snapshot. This is a photo, a snapshot. But what we can turn this snapshot, into a YouTube. Turn this snapshot into a YouTube. What's going to happen? Well, the Good Shepherd is going to bend over and see if you can relate this passage, the Good Shepherd and that sheep falling off the cliff. That's you. That's me. Maybe call to mind how the Good Shepherd, in one way or another, through persons, places, things, circumstances, the Good Shepherd went after you, sacrificed himself for you, was able to bend over and place you lovingly on his shoulders. So this Good Shepherd is going to bend over and gently lift up the sheep. So we're turning this picture into a YouTube, a snapshot into a movie. This is really Ignatian contemplation. We try to imagine the image, but also we want to enter into the scene and we want to become part of the scene. We want to become part of the scene. That's right. He's bending over, and he's lowering himself to place the sheep upon his shoulders in a very gentle and kind and loving way. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. So what happens is, he places the sheep on his shoulder, and the sheep is very cold. But the warmth in the heart, of the good shepherd ascends, and the cold, shivering sheep is comforted by the heat and the warmth of the sacred heart of the good shepherd. Then the good shepherd, carrying the sheep on his shoulder, will walk all the way back to the other 99 sheep and gently he'll place that sheep amongst the other 99, making sure that the sheep will be able to graze in the abundant pastures and possibly healing the sheep of whatever wound that sheep may have experienced as he fell off the cliff. My friends, it's a very, very beautiful passage. Very beautiful passage. So on this Good Shepherd Sunday, my friends, let's enter into a very intimate, profound conversation with Jesus, the Good Shepherd, Our Lady of Fatima, was the Good Shepherd to Jacinta, Francisca, and Lucia. And Our Lady is the means by which the Battle of Lepanto was victorious through the praying of the Most Holy Rosary. So, my friends, let's renew, let's renew our love, our devotion, our confidence, our trust in the Good Shepherd. And that Good Shepherd is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd of our souls. I'd all of you to share our conversation with many of your friends, and pray that our course today on the Acts of the Apostles will bring forth abundant fruit. Because, my friends, indeed, in all truth, the Lord is my shepherd, and there is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. And I'd like to impart upon you all, on all of you, my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Amen.